Hey, yo, we're here with DJ Habib Eats, man. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Likewise. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Listen, this is the one and only Arab DJ known to turn up the heat in the kitchen and cook up straight meals when he's mixing.
I'm hungry just thinking about it right now.
I know it gets hot, right? When you're in there by them flames and you're serving up the people, you know, just breaking a sweat in that apron, right?
The boiler room.
Yeah, bro.
Talk about a boiler room.
Listen, I'm telling you, bro.
I haven't worn an apron to a show yet, but maybe I should.
Huh. Well, listen, I mean, Habib Eats is like curry with the pot. I mean, you're just chefing up straight beets and turnips, right?
Turnips like...
Like...
Turn up? Or...
Like mkhalal, like turnips.
Oh, turnips.
Yeah, like beets, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like fidjel.
Yeah, you can say that about me.
Hey, man, you be slicing and dicing, enticing and spicing. I mean, chilling and grilling.
I've been known to chill and grill once or twice.
Yes, maybe. Sir. Mixing and fixing.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm mixing something. I don't know about food, but mixing.
So, you're straight bumping with them dumplings, though, right?
I've eaten dumplings. I like them.
I mean, you straight up bumping with them dumplings, bro. Let's be honest.
How many of these do you have?
He's in his bag. Yeah.
I mean, this guy is fire with the
yeah,
the tables.
Yeah, chefing it up
and turning nothing into muffins.
I've never baked a muffin in my life.
Oh, you don't bake? He's not a baker.
Okay, yeah. That's probably not his niche.
You know, there's bakers, yeah. And then there's chefs, and then there's...
Like the Food Network?
No, I haven't been on Food Network.
Oh,
interesting. Okay. Maybe it's an upcoming opportunity.
Yeah,
maybe one day.
I heard they'd be calling you the Director of Culinary Excellence.
That is what they call me.
Yeah.
That is Director of Culinary Excellence.
I mean,
people have said that.
Yeah, I've even went as far to hear somebody say you are a culinary connoisseur.
I've heard that as well.
The chef de cuisine.
In France, that's what they call it.
Yeah. have you been to France?
I have.
Now, but for real, you cook, right?
Not really.
What do you mean by that? For some reason, you're giving me a non-chef vibe right now.
Yeah, that's because I'm not a chef.
I mean, you haven't been on Food Network. No. You've never made a muffin in your life. You don't really like dumplings much. I mean, what's going on here?
I like dumplings.
You do like
dumplings. I've never been on Food Network.
Okay.
I'm a horrible cook.
But your DJ Habib Eats.
I know, it's confusing. Everyone expects to show up and I'm there cooking live, like it's Benihana or something.
But... Hold up. Bro, didn't you tell me this guy was a cook, bro? What's going on?
I don't know. I'm gonna call the manager real quick.
I'm DJ Habib Beats, as in music.
Ah, I see. So that's...
Somebody's getting fired.
Well, I like food. I can eat.
Yeah. No. Listen. Don't listen. Don't worry about any of that.
I cook up in the lab, not so much in the kitchen.
Ah.
So that's in that way I'd be cooking, but not so much in the kitchen.
I see.
But I also do love to eat.
So I want to take this moment here to apologize. I was wrong.
All right. So Habibi House, the Arab American podcast with DJ Habib Beats. I'm glad you're in the building today, man.
Happy to be here. Appreciate you, man.
Habib
Beats.
all right, well, we have a DJ in the house, man. I love music.
Yeah,
that's even better than I expected, dog. That's what's up. DJ Habibi. All right, so it's Habibi Beats, but you changed it to Habib Beats. Like,
it's
how do you say
it's always been Habibi Beats.
I know, but like, what's the play? Explain the name.
That's a play on Habibi and Beats.
So what's the right way to say
the words together?
Habibi Beats. Yeah. Like you're saying the word Habibi.
Yeah,
but. It's Beats on there.
Beats is the last vowel.
It's funny. Everyone says Habibi Beats.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And that's not it, but right. it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it's all good. No, I figured it's the Habibi Beats. Like you lean into the I with the E. Yeah, makes sense. Cool, bro.
You got it.
Yeah, yes, sir. No, man, obviously we're kidding. Obviously, you're known all around the Arab world, bro, like for real. And it's for...
All around the world in general.
Yeah,
all around the world.
Appreciate
there,
appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's funny is I did go on a podcast once where one of the hosts did actually think it was Habib Eats.
No way.
and it wasn't joking.
Wait, are you kidding? Not?
No, but
oh shit!
He wasn't joking. Like it was toward the end of the podcast,
and he's like,
"This is one thing I've been wondering this whole time." And he's like, "Why is it Habib Eats?" And then all the other hosts were like, "Bruh."
Anyway, they were like, "No." They didn't know either.
The other hosts knew. Oh, they understood, but the one didn't. The one and so guy. They were like, dude, what are you yeah. talking about? No, no, so shout out funny. To them, though. It was great.
So this
great
is a parody of that guy, basically.
I think that's why he knew like where we're
yeah,
going.
Yeah, you said you knew and we told you we're going to do a funny skit.
I had a feeling.
Is that what you thought it was?
Yes, exactly what I thought
it was. That's funny, dude. We should stitch a part of that clip with this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Easy.
yeah, that's funny, man. No, but you know, obviously there's that interplay in those words with like, you know, chefing up, cooking, spicing. Like people use that for music all the time.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where we just took that idea and kind of ran with it.
Well, I just figure one day when I make a food blog or something, that's what I'll call it. Habib Eats.
Habib
Eats.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Or when I release my own like show in Milan or something.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's all about that cross.
I mean, you and that, branding. I mean, I was like getting on NASA. I was like, when is Habib Eats gonna remix the shawarma song?
Oh yeah, well, something
and get like just get the Habib Eats treatment where it's gonna be this like yeah.
Nasir one,
this big room like you know house music type.
Shout out Nasir and shout out Sean. My parents are divorced.
Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's the same Sean, huh? He's the one that does like we were talking about. He does these funny skits on the podcast.
Yeah.
Hilarious. That's cool, man. Yeah. Do you think will you mix something with that track?
Anything could happen.
We'll see, right? We'll see.
Yes, inshallah. Inshallah.
Maybe that's your pseudonym, Habib Eats, and you mix a bunch of like their food songs. Yeah. No, man, it's always nice to have a name that's versatile that you can apply to like different applications. So like, yeah, obviously Habib Eats, and then like you do the Eats for something else.
Yeah.
Kind of in fact, bro, we were trying to come up with a name for this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I know that you were also.
I mean, like when you have a residency at a
do you
club.
Do you have a residency anywhere? Like, no. Okay.
But like when you do, it's usually it might be like you go and you have like a night, and it's called something.
Yeah, like have you decided on a name yet? Or
I have. Funny enough, I have. Yeah.
You
did? I call my party.
Okay, hold on. Because we have an idea for our podcast name too.
Okay.
So let's do it on three.
Okay.
Let's say it on three. And all see right. if see because are you thinking what I think I think you're thinking
think,
what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking what you I think so.
So this is you're talking about for your residency for your
my party
for your parties that you do, all right, and for our podcast.
All right,
on three.
Yeah.
All right, count.
One, two, three.
Habibi House.
Wait a second.
Wait. How did? Did you? I heard an S in yours.
There is an S in mine.
So yours is so Habibi's house.
Habibi's house.
All right, that's different enough. Unless we have a whole apostrophe.
There's apostrophe and an S.
And an S.
So it is a little different.
That's two characters. I think that's enough. Yeah, seriously. How funny is that we have the same name, dude?
It's hilarious. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember when I first met you guys.
Yeah. It was the first night
after outside Eliana's show.
Yeah.
In LA.
You and Atif had met him.
Yeah. And I remember like we told you the name and then you just like went and ran with it.
Basically just.
Yeah.
No, I definitely hadn't done like a year of parties before.
Yeah. And we weren't doing podcasts for a year. You know, the funny thing is, dude, is it literally like people might be surprised to believe this, but it actually is a coincidence. Like you came up with it on complete separate accords.
Yeah.
We came up with it on complete separate accords. And I remember running into you at that party and I was like, I had the merch already on.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, what happened? And it was cool to see you. But obviously we've been wanting to have you on the show.
Appreciate
for
it.
That reason. But yeah.
You've been so cool about it. Like there is no bad blood. It's like, because a lot of the times, you know, you see the entertainment business, it's like, you know, you meet somebody in their face and it's like they show you one thing and then behind your back it's different. So even you showing up and, you know, being cool about even coming on the show is amazing.
Yeah, of course.
But you guys are dope.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember the moment too when I saw your, where I saw like, you, I think you guys sent it to the IG group, mm-hmm. like the Habibi's house and the party. And I was like, oh shit, son of a gun. I guess. It's not that hard of a name.
We were talking about all the way back to Ahmed's episode, the Yemeni guy.
Yeah.
He's we were talking about it, and he's like, "Yeah, a lot of Latinos go there," and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna pull up there." A lot of Latina girls, you know, like when I had said even our name of our podcast to people, they would say, "Oh, isn't that like the party?" Like it would be like. These girls that are like, oh yeah, I went to a party called Habibi's house, and I was like, yeah. So again, like just us being on like the same wavelength is amazing.
Yeah.
It's funny because I personally, when they first, when we were workshopping a name for the podcast, I was personally not a fan of Habibi House because I thought it was too low hanging of a fruit to use like the Habibi. I wanted something a bit more like it takes like one level further of thinking to like do the Arab word that everyone knows. Maybe there's a second Arabic word that like people don't usually use. But the boys were like, nah, like this is, you know, for it's simple enough. Everyone's going to remember it. It's memorable. And eventually I caved and we used it. And but yeah, what was your thought process on coming up for yourself?
Dude, the funny thing is that I didn't come up with it.
Oh, really?
So I was trying to start my own party. And the first ever like Habibi's House basically was, it happened on really short notice. I was friends with this guy who owned a bar in LA, and he was like, oh, you know, we're not doing anything this Sunday. If you want to come throw a party, you know, that way we can get like the bartenders can get paid and we can like get some going on in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a Wednesday he hit me up for like that Sunday. And I didn't really have much time to, you know, we had to book some DJs and put out the word and everything. And I hit up a homie of mine, shout out the Candy Rain, shout out Segundo, to design a flyer for me. And I told him to write on the flyer, Habibeats and Friends is what I was going to call the event. Because it was like I was trying to do my own party, and I wanted it to just be called Habibeats and Friends. And he sent it back to me, and it said Habibi's House. Huh. And he's like, this is better. And I was like, this is better. This is much better. And that's how that happened.
That's funny. That's cool. That's dope. When was this, you said? And
it's like, I think October of 22.
October of 22. Mm-hmm. When did we start ideating our...
I think, I mean...
I want to see if it was the same month that same we came day. Up. Yeah.
I think it was July 2022. If you go back to our Instagram, you'll see that we started using Habibi House hashtag.
Hmm. When did you start popping off? Let me ask you this.
The party or
like you in general and the party. What came first?
I think me first, like, and then, so by the time I started the party, I had already had like a pretty big social media following and stuff. But the party, I would say, started popping off like December of 22, maybe.
Okay.
Because the first party had, again, it was super short notice, about 80 people came.
Really?
A month later, we did the second one and it was 320 people. And then, the third time we did it, which was probably December, we sold out. And the bar held maybe like 400, 450.
Nice.
So
nice.
Then we kept selling out that place, and then we moved to bigger spaces.
Which spot was that?
That was Melrose House.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. December, and then from there on, the rest is history.
No, we did Melrose House a few times after that in 23.
Got it.
Shout out Melrose House. Shout out Santiago.
Yes, sir. And how did you start popping off? Like, when did that come about?
That happened in 21. It's a bit of a long story, but long story short, I've always been DJing since I was like 13. I'm 29 now. And then I moved down. I'm from the Bay Area.
Yep.
I moved down to LA for law school in 2018.
Okay.
So I was in law school when pandemic hit.
Okay.
And sitting at home during like Zoom law school is just the worst.
Right. Yeah.
So I started posting. I started posting on TikTok, like purely as a form of creative outlet, because I was like stuck in my room, bored out of my mind.
And during the pandemic.
Like I was in my last semester of law school. It was like January of 21.
Okay.
And I was like graduating May.
Got it.
So I'm like bored in my room. Started posting just like DJ content, me doing little mixes and scratching and different things and mashups and whatever. And I think like a couple weeks into posting, just like for fun, I posted a video about a sample. Like, I'm a big music nerd, like obsessed with like where music comes from and what samples what and this and that.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Ariana Grande song. I'm blanking now on the song, but it samples an Imogen Heap song. It's actually more of like a cover, I guess. And that, whatever, this video popped off. And then I was like, and I gained like 10,000 followers in like one night.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy.
Within the single like platform on TikTok?
On TikTok. Just on TikTok. And then I was like, oh, okay. Like,
before that, there wasn't like much success?
No. I mean, before that, I had, in terms of social media success, not really. I had
so that one fateful video.
Yeah, well, that one video is what kind of prompted me to then make a lot more videos like that.
I see.
So I started this series that was called Songs You Probably Didn't Know Were Samples, and I would show you.
Yeah,
I would show you, like, you know, this is the song from the 1970s that, like, Kanye used or whatever. And I would show you how, you know, he sped it up and chopped it up or whatever. And I would do that on my turntables live and showcase how it got from one to the other.
Sick.
I started posting, like, each video I posted would just go, like, viral. Like, it was just, like, people were loving the content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, to my surprise, so I started posting, like, 3 times a day. Okay. I'd, like, log off of Zoom Law School and, like, go post.
Nice.
And, like, make another video.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
By the time I graduated, 5 months after, I had, like, 600,000 or 700,000 followers on TikTok.
Wow.
It just, like, skyrocketed.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, so then I graduated law school. And took the bar. Thank you.
Yeah.
Took the bar.
Passed the bar.
Nice.
To my surprise.
Yeah.
But at that time was like receiving so many like opportunities DJ wise.
Yeah.
That I decided to not practice law and just like pursue DJing.
Nice.
And then a year went by or a year or so went by before I had the Habibi's House thing happen.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Cool.
And when did you start? Mixing Arabic music specifically.
So that was basically right around the first of Habibi's House.
I see.
Okay.
So I think a lot of things led to that. Historically, I was like a hip hop top 40 DJ, like open format hip hop rap top 40 R&B for most of my life, like all of my life basically.
Okay.
And the only context in which I played Arabi music was weddings.
Yeah.
And, I just never thought anybody wanted to hear it out in the club, like I don't know,
in
like
the club,
you know what I mean? Yeah, like you hear it at hookah lounges. You only hear it at like hookah lounges or weddings or like Arabi restaurants,
right?
With
right.
I don't know, but the sample slap, man.
Like, no, I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it was like, I think it was a mixture of a lot of things. Over that year, I started getting, and before that as well. Over time, I started getting really into like Afrobeats, reggaeton.
That's big now.
Huge now, right? And it's just like you started seeing like Bad Bunny, who was like becoming, who would become basically the biggest.
Who's that?
One of the biggest artists ever.
right.
You know, not from America.
Never heard of him.
And then people like Burna Boy from Nigeria, right? Also one of the biggest, most influential artists, not from America, right? You started seeing all these non-American influences grow to such a point that they were dominating the music space.
Yeah.
And at a point, I just basically thought to myself, like, why can't Arabic music be
Arabic
like
music.
That? Like, why can't it be equally as normal and mainstream and cool?
Yeah.
Right? Because we know it's good.
Right.
And so,
and it's been. I mean, historically, it's also been used in other people's music too.
Oh, a lot, yeah.
You know, we brought it up with Timbaland and Jay-Z, and like, you know, a lot of major songs have had the Arabic, you know, flavor to it.
Yeah, but it's been used before, but it hasn't gotten to that point.
And and like an Arabic person using it is also like what we wanted too. You know, and it wasn't like other people using it and then you know getting success off of that, and then when we try to use it, it's like not cool, you know what I mean?
And that's the thing, it's like funny, like there's the cultural appropriation kind of aspect to it there, but then there's also like the cultural appreciation aspect, and then there's also the, like, for me, I felt as a DJ that historically all the like sort of crossover, like Arabi Western remixes
kind
or
of
like
corny.
Were corny.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Everything we had was just like corny.
Like what? Name them.
There's this.
Explain it.
Like I'm thinking. There's this.
You don't have to actually have to.
Oh, it's all good. I have nothing but love for both of these artists, so I'm just gonna say that out front.
Yeah.
But and the song is funny and good, but it's still kind of corny.
Yeah,
it was that one song that was like a Tamer Husni and Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And it just cracked me.
And
it's just like, that's what we had. And it's not that it was bad, but it just wasn't like hitting in the club
the way I
needed
it. Don't they have one now? Isn't it like Shireen and like Busta Rhymes now or something?
I don't know.
Like there's using
a mashup. There's a mashup.
Yeah, that went viral.
Yeah.
I think that like 500K reels have used it or something.
The mashup's kind of
funny. And it's like a song from, you know, 2006 or something. You know what I mean? So she went like platinum now because of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Crazy.
So it's like catapulting people's careers even after they've probably even retired from music or something. You know what I mean? So
that's something you're probably going to help with too, is like getting songs
popularizing back. Older songs and making bringing them to the, you know,
that's
forefront.
Funny though, man. I remember that Snoop Dogg record with Tamir Husni, man. Snoop Dogg really out here just doing side quests at this point.
Dude,
bro.
Everywhere. Honestly, respect.
Yeah.
Guy knows how to make everything happen.
That was big, though. I remember I was like, Snoop Dogg with Tamir Husni, like, we're getting some attention, like, there's something happening. But obviously, it wasn't it.
And there was, like, there's been a lot. And the point is like, I don't know, as a DJ, like, I always, like, am hunting on the internet and on SoundCloud and on whatever for dope remixes or edits or ideas.
Of course.
And I'm always seeing, like, you know, hard techno remix of Bad Bunny or whatever. All these cool combos and cool things that are sick, but I never saw it for Arabic music.
Please tell me you're in contact with Khalifa Santo.
No. Khalifa Santo.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's like my producer. favorite guy right now that does that kind of stuff. He's so incredible. Like, you guys should connect because I think he's out of Egypt or something.
Whoa.
I'll send you his profile later.
Khalifa Santo. That's his, like.
Yeah. And he brings over sounds together. It's crazy.
It's like Kanthum, like Biggie mashups, that type
of
thing.
He kind of even like inspired us to do our intro music too. Like, we took Kanthum's, like, you know, most, like, the 40-minute song that she has.
Yeah.
And, you know. Make our intro music from it. Like,
sick.
So,
please. I would love to check it out.
It's great.
All right. So at that point, you were like, you're starting to see that other cultures were doing it, and you're like, all right, it's time for Arabi music to also be mixed into the mainstream music. And Habibi's House started because of that thought.
Yeah. So, you know, to play, it came with a couple of different things, but, like, for example, one of the things was that I decided as a DJ for myself and my career, like, before I was playing Arabi music, right? If I wasn't going to start producing my own stuff, then the sort of peak there is, like, you know, maybe I get booked in Vegas regularly to play on a Friday night Drake and top 40 music, which is nothing wrong with that,
right?
But that's not what I wanted for myself.
Fulfilling for you,
yeah. For me, it's just not what I wanted. I had been there and done that, like, not Vegas, but, like, I've played those songs and been in those types of clubs, and I wanted to go down a more my own route, and I decided I wanted to start producing music.
Nice.
And when I decided I wanted to start producing music, I was like, okay, what am I gonna make that's unique? What am I gonna contribute to the world? I don't want to sound like just another this or that. I want to be something different.
Yeah.
So the first concept I had was to bring in my Arabi side with my, like, hip-hop DJ side, I guess. Yeah. So I combined, so I did a remix of Ya Tub Tub by Nancy Ajram. Mm,
okay.
That,
Ya Tub Tub.
Yeah. That, I remixed it into, like, a Brazilian funk, baile funk, that that kind of stuff, because I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah.
So I remixed it in that fashion, and then the remix, the second drop is like a Jersey club.
Okay, nice.
But it's like with Nancy.
So
I did that, and that was my first.
It's like it's like the triangle of so many different.
Oh,
vibes.
I mean, it's just my whole brain.
It's amazing, bro. What a fusion.
Yeah, and so I put that out, and what's funny is, like, in my head, I was like, this is such a specific.
Yeah.
Like, you know, amalgamation of things that I really like, and I didn't think other people would really fuck with it like that.
Yeah.
But then it went viral, and then, like, I posted a video on TikTok that got, like, 2 million views and like 25,000 creates with the sound.
Nice.
And then, like, then all of a sudden I'm getting tagged in videos of DJs dropping my remix in, like, Belgium and Cairo and wherever, Greece and Brazil, and I'm like, whoa. So that was the moment. So, but in order to play stuff like that, right, like, your average Friday, Saturday club or bar in L.A. or most places in the U.S., like, don't want that.
Yeah.
They want you to just, like, keep people happy, play some music they know,
right,
which is fair. That's fair.
Yeah, they're not listening to Nancy Ajram in L.A., like, unless they're out of Brazil.
Right, but your average, you know, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So Habibi's House was a way for me to create a space for me to play the music that I was making.
Yes.
And the music that I wanted to make and wanted to play.
I see. Awesome.
Because even in your video, like, I see you rocking the keffiyeh in your videos and stuff. So, like, as a DJ, and you know, we're now just mentioning that you're Palestinian, right? So as a Palestinian, a DJ in the entertainment business, How have you navigated that space as an Arab in the entertainment business? Do you feel like you've missed out on opportunities?
And real quick, before you even answer that, I just wanted to comment on like the process of like you thinking of something and thinking, oh, this is just something I like. I don't think other people are going to like it. Those are usually the things that do the best, dude. Because if you genuinely like it, that means it's real for you. And if it's real for you, it's likely real for a lot of people like you.
And I see the comments too. It's like, I didn't even know I needed this, right?
You
know what I mean?
Yeah, that type
like,
of thing.
Yeah, so like you are the guy that curates that for like you're thinking of stuff that people want to hear and they don't even know that they wanted to hear it.
And in this instance, it makes perfect sense because it is the music we know and love and with such a vibrant, positive, like bumpy
and modernized.
Twist.
You've modernized it.
Yeah, and
too,
a modern twist, you know, spin on it.
Sort of made it like like more accessible, club friendly.
Yeah.
Was the idea for me.
It's like a safe bet in a way because we love DJ music, we love Arabic music, it makes perfect sense, but it's like the things that seem so obvious that no one's ever done before that someone's like, is this crazy? Should I do this? And then it just
is interesting.
Skyrockets.
Yeah, like to speak on that point, we'll get back.
I'll re-ask the question again.
Yeah, no worries. To speak on that point, like it's something I've learned through that process is that like the art that resonates the most with you or with me, right, is usually what resonates the hardest with other people, right? Because if you're making sort of like, you know, high level, just sort of widely accepted, widely appealing art.
Right. General stuff.
More general kind of stuff. It'll maybe appeal to more people, perhaps, but like it won't appeal so deeply.
Yes.
You know, it'll just be like, cool, that's cool.
Right.
But like, it's when you kind of get into that bag of like, very specifically, this is what I'm doing and this is what I like.
Niche.
And other people who also feel like that will love it. 100%. Because they're just like, whoa, I 100%. Didn't even know this existed. Yeah. Like, what is this, right?
Yes.
And that's, if I think about it, that's how I feel when I consume stuff that I really love, right? There are these, you know, some of my favorite songs are not top 40 songs, right? A lot of us, right? They're not chart-topping radio songs.
Right.
And it's just because they're songs that, like, so specifically hit a chord
something like special.
so
you're like a true musician because you had like a producer that told you like don't make music for the radio.
Fred Reck
Shout out Fred Reck.
We just had him on last episode. We'll tell you more about that later, but go ahead.
I mean, I think it's been said a lot of different ways, but like basically, you know, if you're trying to like make
please everyone.
Yeah, if you're trying to please everyone or make music that's going to resonate with everyone, then you're really not, I think you're not really making anything that speaks that deeply to anyone.
To anyone, 100%.
Yeah, so...
It's almost ironic, or like it seems paradoxical that if you try to please everyone, you end up pleasing pretty much no one.
Yeah.
And if you just go... I mean, this is a fundamental principle of marketing, too.
Mm.
I think we figured this out a while ago. about like niching down, finding your target audience, and then making products that specifically suit them, and then not caring about the rest of the population because you're not going to sell something to everybody.
But true. I found that as a DJ. So I had tried throwing parties in the past before Habibi's House that were different concepts.
Yeah.
Try to throw a hip-hop party. Try to do a, like, whatever. Yeah. It's an R&B party or whatever it might be. And the reality is, like, it's so much harder to compete or to succeed in those lanes because there's a lot of it already.
Right.
Right. But when I drilled, and I fashioned myself always like as an open format DJ, a guy that can play to any crowd.
Yeah.
That can, no matter who's in the room, I'm going to figure them out and I'm going to like make them dance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great skill set.
It's like a stand up comedy, but for music.
I mean, true. Exactly. Yeah. I've always said DJing is you have to have a level of like, you know,
flexibility,
but also
personable.
but behavioral analysis.
Yeah.
Sounds like maybe whatever.
No, for sure.
But you have to be able to walk in a room, especially as like a...
Sounds like a lawyer that became a DJ.
But especially as an open format guy who's, or girl who's playing like at a Friday, Saturday night at some bar where no one's coming to see you.
Right.
You're just showing up and there's people there.
Yeah.
And you got to make them dance.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to have the ability to be like, all right, what kind of people are in front
of you? Yeah. You got to read the room.
You have to read the room.
Yeah.
But my point was like, it wasn't until I started drilling down into Habibi's House and having this specific lane that I really started seeing success. Yes. Because if you try and do it all, it's right. kind of hard to, people don't know where to categorize you.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know like what, you know, he just plays music, like right. what does he do, right? right? But the moment you have something that's kind of more specific, people can pinpoint it, categorize it in their head, be like, yo, he does this. And I really love that.
Yeah.
And then more people who really love that come.
For sure, yeah. for sure, man, 100%.
I mean, we have noticed that phenomenon with us too. I mean, we are like, you know, Habibi House, we say that every podcast. We are Habibi House, the Arab American podcast.
Right.
Which we didn't say this time. Welcome back to Habibi House. we don't have our co-host Atif here, which is usually the one that does the intros for us. So
he's the intro, you know, he's the best at it.
For our viewers, you know, our boy is in Michigan. It's Ramadan. As you can see, we're also on a Ramadan set. You know, we're improvising. We're trying to keep the show coming for y'all.
And I just want to say, I already apologize that I'm drinking coffee in front of him.
No.
As a Christian Arab, I made sure it wasn't making him uncomfortable.
No, we told him it wasn't cool, and he just did it anyway. No, man, drinking doesn't do much for me, or eating in front of me, but unless it's like something that just is delicious, you know what I'm saying?
Smacks.
And it just smells, then you're like, all right, bro.
The cartoon, like,
smoke. The smell is Tom and Jerry. But yeah, man, so we definitely talk about that a lot for us, and it's just even like it's on a personal level too, this phenomenon of like not trying to please everybody. They say like if you're truly your truest version of yourself, then you're going to be polarizing. Because some people are not going to like you, and some people are going to love you.
Yep.
But if you just try to be this guy that's like, hey, Mark, hey, Hamada, hey, like, oh, how you doing? Like, just trying to please everyone, no one's going to really fuck with you deep, you know?
So, yeah, I think you kind of end up standing for nothing everything.
People can tell you're trying to be a people pleaser.
Yeah, and you just don't really have much, like...
to offer.
I don't know, yeah, maybe much, or just much...
depth.
Depth there, like it's
there's
just
nothing
like
to
being.
Cling on
it's okay to be you.
Yes,
it's okay to be a specific person.
People resonate with that. I think they see that and they want, you know, they want somebody who's authentic. And I think
it's also more interesting.
Yeah,
you know, it's like who, I mean, you think of all the people that like any of us look up to or idolize in society. Like they are themselves.
Yes,
for the most part, they're not just kind of these like. I don't know, amalgamous, like just not, I don't know. They stand for, they have opinions.
Yeah.
They stand behind their opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
People who kind of like shape shift and they're kind of like skeezy, you know what I mean? Like they form, you can smell it out basically.
Yeah, it's just, it feels inauthentic.
I think
what it is. Yeah.
It's like you're not offering anything new or anything that's like someone else had previously thought of. But when you're like you thought of, okay, Arabic music would be cool. You know,
Jersey.
It'd be cool to mix it. You mixed it. People are like, oh, I do love Arabic music, and this is super cool. And I feel this guy. I feel the depth he's bringing. So,
a funny example that I'm thinking of now is like I recently posted a video that was me mashing up a Nancy Ajram song with that Drake song with Sexy Red, where she's like, and like a lot of the comments were like, yo, this is my two halves of my brain like together, right? But then but some of the comments were like, haram, bro.
You're
gonna get both.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like, I just gotta be true to myself. Like, I thought that mix was dope.
It was Nancy Ajram with?
Yeah.
I mean, she's always been kind of Harambe herself, you know?
I don't know. Is
I don't
that
know.
True?
Like, she's, I mean, she started this wave of like, you know, the sexy.
Lebanese divas have always kind of pushed you know, boundaries in terms of
the way that she used to dress. I remember like our grandparents and stuff weren't rocking with Nancy Ajram at the time.
You know what I mean?
She was pushing the envelope herself.
So it's like you got to do you. People are going to, so I'm sure you guys have even gotten comments about 100%.
Like we were doing a food segment, for example, with Nasser, you know what I mean? And it's just, You can't win. People saying, "Oh, you're eating during this time. It's in poor taste and stuff." And we're like, "But this is what we do." You know, navigating this extremely tragic time. Like we've mentioned this with a few different, you know, performers, entertainers, anybody who's kind of like in Hollywood, because this is what we do. You know, he's a musician. I came here pursuing acting. Atif, same thing. And obviously, I've kind of said this off camera, and I want to say this on camera. It's like, I feel like Arabs are kind of like the last, like the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to representation in Hollywood. Mm. And Hollywood and the entertainment business in general. And
up until like recently, right?
Well, yeah. So that's the thing is that it's amazing to see somebody who's using Arabic music, popularizing it, and he's Arab himself. You know, you're Palestinian. You're standing on business. You're wearing the keffiyeh, like on set, like while you're performing, and you're unashamed of it. You know, you're proud of it. However, like in doing that, do you feel like you've missed out on opportunities because you are now showing? You're not like hiding your Arabness anymore. You're out there with it, and you know it's. Do you feel like any negative ramifications of that?
Because you did make that decision to say, I'm going to serve my community specifically and serve my niche. Mm-hmm. So by doing that, yeah, I guess have you isolated yourself from other communities or have you scared away people?
I think yes and no. I think in terms of isolating myself from opportunities, I don't know that I know for a fact, you know, because I think those opportunities probably just now are not coming my way, right? And there's no way I know that, right. whether or not I would have came my way before and isn't now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure in some ways it's isolated my opportunities in that way or limited opportunities in that way because I am pretty outspoken and just pretty much like am putting on for who I am and being authentically myself.
Yeah. It's just not something you've... It's like you don't know what you don't know.
It's like I don't know what I don't know. I mean, I've definitely received my fair share of hate comments and messages and this. It's so funny. Like people who like I'll get message requests, you know, like, and you can either accept or deny the request. Right. But like ones I've never even accepted, just like people have hit me up. And there's like, I remember this one. This is like from, I don't know, a year ago. And it was like, man, love your music. Like, love your vibe. Like everything about what you're doing is so cool. Like, keep it up, da da da. And then like the next one was like it was like a couple months ago, and it was response to something I posted about Palestine, and it was like calling me a terrorist.
Oh wow, it's
like, bro, that's what a flip!
Crazy.
Like it's like the guys talking to themselves in the comment and the DMs of girls. Yeah. They're like, oh my god, you're so beautiful, and then it's like, I hate you.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you left him on red. Yeah, I think that's what
red. You don't look at their stuff. Wild. So I mean, I don't know. There's always like a bit of a struggle when it comes to that, I think, just because like nowadays our lives, especially as someone who's like in my position or y'all's position, are so constantly on the internet and everything you do is under a microscope.
Right. Yeah.
And then people have this like added confidence behind a screen to like say things.
Right.
So to some degree that's hard. And there's going to be people from both sides. There's people who, you know, there's Palestinians who get mad at me for not repping enough or there's people who call me a terrorist or there's on both sides. Or, but then overwhelmingly it's supportive.
Yeah. Like, it's usually love. Yeah.
It's mostly love,
especially lately.
And like, especially like what we were saying earlier ties into this perfectly about being yourself.
Yeah.
Because whatever opportunities I may have lost from being myself.
Right.
I know gained a lot of other ones from being myself.
Yes.
And people rock with me that much harder.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
you probably didn't even want the ones you lost. You know?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If I had to lose those opportunities because they think I'm a terrorist or something, then that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with losing those opportunities.
Yeah.
Like there's enough opportunities in the world.
For sure.
It doesn't even
matter at that point, right? It's like, no, I don't know what I could have had, and I don't care because guess what? I'm having all the success that I could have asked for, and I'm sure you have goals that you're yet to hit and you're gonna hit.
Yeah.
But it's like, who cares?
I think you've also broken barriers. Like you talk a lot about, you know, Rami and Mo and how they've, you know, broken down, you know, barriers and open doors for actors, but like, I feel like you've opened doors for future DJs and future musicians.
Yeah.
Like to have their, as you said, like it's, I mean, it's, I would assume that it's super cathartic for you to have your own night that's Arabic themed, that's where you can just be your authentic self and express yourself.
It's the best feeling.
And bring all those kind of people
to
together.
See people enjoy themselves so openly.
Yeah,
And like, they're not thinking about, you know, how do I look while I'm dancing,
judgment.
They're just having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite thing that's come out of all of it is when people come up to me and say, stuff like you're the reason I started DJing, right? Like you're the reason I started, like you're what you're doing has inspired me to also go down a similar path, which to me is like the most humbling, like beautiful thing.
That's always
and dope. I always can't believe it. Yeah. I'm just like, me? you came to one of my parties and that inspired, like, but I can't even imagine at the same time, because for me, when I step into a room of 1200 people and it's sold out and I'm dropping Umm Kulthum or something, or just anything. Or I'm dropping Arabic music in a club and it's like a crazy event. Like, that's a wild thing for me. So I can't even imagine what it's like for the person attending to walk in and be like, what's going on here? What world am I living in? It's so cool.
It really is a world. Like, you created a new world that you can share with people that are exactly your people. And you're right, like Arabic music, dude, like at a wedding, like no one's thinking about, I mean, people are judging each other low-key, but for the aunties sitting down, but on the dance floor, bro, everybody is so easy to have a good time. Your hands are up, you're clapping, you're snapping, you're dancing, like it's just such a, I remember we saw you at, the only time I caught you, and we're going to definitely come to your Habibi's house.
Please.
Habibi house in the Habibi's house, you know what I'm saying? It'll be a whole Inception episode. But I remember at Between East we saw you spinning after the first night. And we obviously we had our booth back there, but it was so dope, bro. It was like such a vibe. Like everyone was I was dancing, you know, the ladies were dancing.
Yeah, because you also have this opportunity to not have a mosh pit but more like a debke pit.
you know what I mean like people are just like
going insane.
It's wild.
Is that a common occurrence?
It is. It is a common occurrence. People are doing a debke at Habibi's house.
I'm sure.
The debke pit. I think the most I've seen is maybe 6 or 7 different debke lines going at the same time.
That's crazy.
Shout out to you, dog.
That's like a record or something, probably.
Bringing the culture into the modern era.
But yeah, it's cool, man. I think, you know, most of all, I think in this country and in the West in general, I think immigrant communities, diaspora communities can feel a little bit isolated from their culture or a little bit deprived of their culture or subdued or whatever. Definitely. And it's just such a cool thing for people to feel that moment and feel heard and feel seen and feel accepted and feel like they're part of it too. Which is why, like, I play a lot of music at Habibi's house that's not Arabic music.
Right.
I play a lot of Brazilian, Indian, African, Latin. Mm. So, like, it's crazy, like, you know, at my San Francisco show just a couple weeks ago, I personally love Indian music, and I really love Punjabi music as well.
Yeah.
And so, like, at some point, I'm like, where are all my Punjabis at? And I swear, like, half the crowd was like, oh! So, like, then I played Punjabi music, and then they turned up, and they felt seen, and they felt heard.
If you didn't hear anybody, would you, like, play another song?
I would have still dropped the same song. But I knew because I had already dropped the song, and, like, a couple bars in, I could see people losing it, and I'm like, all right, where are my Punjabis at?
That's where, like, you hit them with the bibi makalini. That used to be a club song, I mean, for Punjabs, like back in the day, or for Indian people.
Yeah, it's a huge song. Yeah. Mundiande Bachke by Punjabi MC.
Yeah, man. Yeah, shout out Punjabi MC.
And then there's those two, it was like the two sisters doing, you seen that on TikTok?
Yeah,
that
shit slaps too. Nuran sisters.
Yeah.
That's been remixed on.
That's great. Yeah, they got that one hard. I've seen like heavy metal remixes to it. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Isn't there, we joked about the Boiler Room earlier, but isn't there a woman that does do like EDM or house music that she mixes in Arabic music too? Do you know who I'm thinking about?
Yeah, there's two Boiler Room sets that I could think of. You're probably thinking of either Nuria or Salia.
I think so.
Both from the same party. It's the same like Boiler Room.
I see.
Event.
Back to back,
I think technically, like Nuria was like the headliner of the event. I think Salia just played right before.
Okay.
They're both from the UK. They're
Palestinian.
Forgive me. They're both homies.
Okay.
And they're great. I don't think. No, I think Salia's Lebanese and Irish.
Got it.
And then Nuria, I'm not exactly.
I think Irish is pretty much like
pretty much Arab.
Palestinian. Yeah.
Solidarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but their stuff is awesome.
They're great, man. Yeah. They're great. Yeah. And actually, I think Nuria played my Tub Tub remix in that set.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is a big moment.
Heck yeah. Theirs is more like deep house, like deep cuts type of.
No. I would say they do a lot of similar stuff to me. It's a little bit more UK leaning, maybe. Okay. So they might have more drill. Like UKG. Yeah. Not so much drill. Yeah. I'd say like UKG and like drum and bass, yeah. Maybe jungle.
Yeah, yeah, jungle.
A little bit more like UK bass type stuff.
Yeah.
But no, by and large, it's like we have a lot of overlap, and we're always like sending each other music.
Nice. Sick. Yeah, I mean, you started doing this also at an opportune time. Like, speaking of all the other, Arabic culture has been having a boom recently between like the different actors, the musicians, you know, podcasts. Like, with you coming in, it seems like we all have decided in a similar time to be like unashamed of our roots and culture, and it just makes sense, right? Like, we're moving with the tide of time, and everything is modernizing, and everything is finding a new way to exist in the digital reality, and who knows how Web3, you know, looks like when it comes to if we get to a metaverse, and like then there's going to be even more ways to adapt into that sphere.
Meta Arabs.
Yeah.
Meta Arabs.
Meta protests. Maybe we'll go.
You didn't see that? There's a Minecraft. You see that in the beginning? It was crazy. There was kids couldn't go to the protest because their parents weren't letting them. So they just did like a Minecraft protest. It was crazy, and they were like chasing people wearing like the blue flag and stuff. It's so funny.
We used that in one of our clips, didn't we?
So, it's like Kazakhstan, yeah. Like.
So I'm sure we'll find a way to protest in the metaverse, dog. Zuck, you ain't safe. Yeah. Nowhere safe.
But I mean, to your point though, like it has been a really cool moment the past few years for Arab culture in the West. Like, not only do we have like guys like Rami and Mo, but we've got like Saint Lavant and Eliana.
Yeah.
Then we've got comedians like Nasir and Sean.
Yeah.
And, Sammy Obeid.
DJs coming up. Yeah. And then what's his name? Bassem Youssef is a hit.
Yeah.
I think personally a big moment too was the World Cup being in Doha.
Yeah.
Was a huge moment because it was like the whole world. Was
now it's
watching.
Jersey or something next?
It's super different.
Yeah.
The whole world was like eyes on an Arab country hosting the World Cup, the most famous event in the world.
Right,
and it was nothing but just like funny memes and funny videos and people getting along and sharing culture.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you saw like Brazilian dudes dance battling with like Khaliji dudes. It was just like, it was wild. Right, like, it was like.
Yeah, for sure.
But weren't there like reporters that were getting shunned? I've seen some videos that's where it started, I think. That people would be like, I'm from this country, and they wouldn't even talk to them.
Yeah, there was that as well. Yeah,
the Israeli reporters, right?
People weren't rocking with them.
Yeah, I mean.
They would just be like,
But I think to the larger point being that, like, it was such a positive reflection of the Arab world, and it was like, for once, the Arab world wasn't being televised as, like, bombs and catastrophe, and it was just, like, something positive that was, like, I don't know. I think it was there's been a huge cultural shift in the past few years.
Yeah, that was a big part moment, too, for us. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been really cool to see, man. Yeah. It's just, like, every one of those things, every one of those artists, every one of those people, every song, it helps move the needle.
Yeah, 100%. A little bit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who is talking about moving the needle? We brought on somebody that was really big about the needle moving. Narsi? It was Narsi. Yeah. Narsi was saying every one of those is exactly that. It's like moving the needle, and it's like those moments might not last forever, but it's setting the next moment up, and then the next, and then before it adds up.
I think people, when they like, oh, what can I do? I'm just a single person. I my voice doesn't matter. And it's like, now you know why your voice matters.
Yeah.
And we're going to get, this is, I think, do you want to say anything about this topic?
Just to go back to the point of do you and be yourself. And if you think something is dope and, obviously if it includes your culture, that's even more of a reason to cling on to it and like then bring it out to the present and the front and it's going to catch. And that's how we continue to progress.
Yeah. So going back to the idea that like a single voice doesn't matter. You see like people that, you're drinking like a local brand, right? A coffee brand.
Shout out Federal Coffee. Love you guys.
We were just talking about Phil's Coffee, Palestinian brand, like, you know, shopping local instead of like the, you know, not named mega corporations. You know, you go there and people don't realize how much power you have where you don't spend your money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you see them losing $11 billion here and $7 billion there. And have you been more mindful with like where you're spending your money lately, you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been boycotting. I used to hit Starbucks quite a lot.
Yeah.
So not anymore.
So a lot of BDSM.
BDSM?
I mean, sorry, BDS. Yeah. boycott, divest.
What's your stance on BDSM? Boycott,
divest, sanction, McDonald's.
Right.
McDonald's.
No, absolutely. I boycotted everything.
Remember our prop bag?
Not
McDonald's. Yeah. Important. It's obviously super important and makes a huge difference, right? Like, I think most of the world runs on financial interests, right? Or in a lot of ways. And so when corporations and people in power and positions of power start losing money, that's a really effective way to bring about change.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's super important.
We wield a power, and that's our spending power.
Oh, it's huge.
You hit the money, that's no matter, like, corruption starts and ends with money. That's just, I mean, and power and greed. And if you, like, things will change when you target the money.
Yeah, it's hugely important.
Narsi was talking about this too, speaking of him, is he was saying, like, you can't defeat the master using the master's tools. And so sometimes just not playing the game at all of capitalism, of
expenditure,
consumerism, then we're able to, obviously it needs to happen at scale and we need to, like, be able to do this stuff together. So our tastemakers leading the charge is needed too.
Yeah. I mean, like we were saying earlier, everything moves the needle.
Yeah.
And now that we have like a connected world via the internet, via Instagram, TikTok, whatever, we can all be on the same page and we can all like move together in a way that was never really possible.
Exactly.
You know, 15 years ago or whatever. Yeah.
And you were saying, so your largest following is on TikTok? Is that what you...
Yeah.
So they kind of pump faked a ban on TikTok like a few months ago and now it's like back.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? I hope and I don't think it's going to happen. But this is—it's crazy that it's even a thing again.
It's wild. Yeah, I'm hugely pro TikTok. Obviously, it's a huge reason, if not the biggest reason, that I am doing what I'm doing today. You know, I'm not, like, personally for my career and stuff going forward. Like, I would like to think that I'll be okay if that happens, because I have a decent following on other platforms as well, and I think I've made enough of a name for myself at this point that, like, hopefully I'll survive and be all right.
It'd be such a shame because they people are getting educated about things that they didn't know about. They're discovering artists like you that they would have never seen before.
I mean, it's one of the it's one of the most important ways that, like, you know, information gets shared 100%. Now and most importantly, decentralized information that isn't coming from the top down, that isn't coming from the government, that isn't coming from whatever they whatever they want you to hear or see. And so it would be a huge shame if it gets banned. I don't know. I hope it doesn't, man. But it's also, I can't even imagine the amount of careers that are going to be, affected. Not only people that work at TikTok. Like, I personally know lots of people who work at TikTok, right? And they're they're out of a job all of a sudden.
Right.
It's right in Culver City, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right here. And then there's all the TikTok influencers, right, that make a living off of, we don't have to call them influencers, but like people who make a living.
Creators.
That's what they do. And the amount of brand deals and the amount of things that are happening, like that's all just going to go away. And then there's the agencies that also deal with those that,
Scary, bro. I mean, it's like you have this platform and this is your livelihood and this is your impact and reach and you have 2 million people you can reach just like that. And then zap, it gets taken away from him. I mean, we've seen this done with Sean King recently.
Yeah,
it was hard for me to fathom, bro, like to have such a large influence and then all of a sudden, no influence.
Right. They can control, like, that's the thing is that I think that they're trying to, like, say, okay, you can use Facebook, Instagram, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, they can't really control TikTok.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've run out of time, but it was awesome having DJ Habib Beats on the show, man. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and obviously it's long overdue. We've been wanting to you know, have this marriage of brands, of the Habibis. Same yeah, yeah. Habibis, yeah, the Habibi houses are now in the house together. It's the same yeah. house. It's different houses.
It's like a duplex up. Or something. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Habibi mansion.
Yeah, yes, mansion. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely I don't know about the rent on that, but right. Especially in LA.
Definitely got to figure out a way to do like a joint event or something together.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome for sure.
And we'll try to have you on when it's the full house too.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, we're missing one of your other partners.
Yeah, we'll definitely bring you back. I mean, again, this is a special Ramadan edition. Yes. It's a shorter version, but we're glad to have you here.
We'll actually do a food segment.
Let's do it. I'm yeah. ready. Habib yeah. eats.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Yes, sir, man. It's good to
cool,
see you.
Cool, dude. So good to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you, bro.